very happy to welcome Lion Goodman today to the Conscious Evolution Summit. Lion, it's so good to have you joining the summit.
Thank you, Puri. It's great to be here with you.
Yeah. And I also want to welcome you wherever you are listening to this audio or watching the video. I also want to warmly welcome you to this conversation with Lion. And Lion, I know that consciousness work is something which is part of your life since decades. And for your own life and also for the benefit of clients you have, because you are working as a coach and giving seminars, and I'm so much looking forward to what, in your opinion, is crucial to be aware of in our evolution as humans in this special time we are living now on this planet.
Well, it's important to be aware of everything. So I'm not sure I have a particular thing that's most important, because I think it's important that we expand our awareness to include everything, including ourselves, the inner view, other people, relationships, politics, economics, the planet, the planet's evolution and the environment. So I don't think there's a particular area that's more important than any other. It's obvious that you start with yourself, because if you know yourself, then you can know others better. The ancient Greeks had a sign above their temple that said, "Know thyself." And that was the advice that they gave 2,000 years ago. So the advice is the same today, that if you know yourself, you can know the world. Everything that you experience is inside of you, even though it appears to be outside of you. And so by studying yourself, you can actually study everything.
And is there, I mean, to study oneself is already, I mean, this takes, it's never ending. It takes a lifetime. Yeah. And did you come across certain methods or certain tools where you would say this is really supportive to know yourself?
Well, I began this search many decades ago. I felt odd, a little strange and outside of everything, separated from other people. I didn't really know how to relate to people. And so it started me on a search for, who am I? Why am I different? And who are they? So I was curious, even in elementary school, I was trying to figure out, why are they like they are and why am I like I am? So this has been a true lifetime search for me. And through that search, I met teachers. I studied with them. I studied many different subjects. When I got to college, I studied anatomy and physiology and neurology. I studied philosophy and psychology, many different forms of psychology. And also in junior high school, I was studying the various religions. So my study was like, I will take answers from anywhere and everywhere. And I wanted to find out how I could become a better person, how I could become a person, because I felt like I was a little off from even the personhood. So this evolution of my search has been long, and 50 years long, 5 decades, not 50 decades. Maybe it has from past lives, but in this life, more than 50 years of study. And I tried psychotherapy, I tried spiritual practices, I tried yoga, I tried meditation. I was willing to do anything. And over those years, I took more than 100 different workshops and classes in this search for knowing myself. And I noticed that when certain things happened, I had an awakening, a big awakening, an aha moment. And so I began looking at what was in common among all of those aha moments. And what I found in common was that there was a belief change at the core of each one. So, for example, when I changed the belief I am separate to I am connected, my experience of the world changed. I didn't feel separate anymore. When I changed the belief it's my mother's fault to it's my responsibility, that was another big change. You know, suddenly I didn't have someone to blame for my psychological errors. And so what I noticed is that the belief change was the key to each of those big transformations. So I began studying beliefs themselves. What are they? Where do they come from? What do they have in common? How do we work with them? How do they create our life? And so that was, for me, the key leverage point, because I was looking for leverage. You know, if you have a stick long enough, you can move any large object. And so leverage for me was if I could get to the beliefs themselves, then I wouldn't have to go through all those other layers. And so that was my quest. And I tried many different approaches and practices to change beliefs. And all of them were okay. They worked some of the time. They worked for a while, but they weren't permanent. And they didn't have the power I was looking for. So finally, I had to invent or download one myself. And so I created, I downloaded, really, it sort of came to me all at once, a process called the Belief Closet Process, and then an associated set of principles that are called the Clear Beliefs Process. So the focus is to get to the subconscious mind, find the core belief that's driving the system and making it go awry, and then changing that belief so that it doesn't cause the system to go off kilter, but actually gets you back on track, gets you into your true self, and moves you forward in your own evolution.
And the question, or let's say there are some questions popping up. So one is, how would you define your true self? And the other was, is it always the case that we need to change a belief, or is it sometimes also that just from having a certain experience, a change, a belief changes on its own? What is your experience in that?
Well, let's take them one at a time. So the first one, what is the true self? For me, the true self is the whole self. It leaves nothing out. You know, people try to divide the self up into many aspects. So physical, intellectual, emotional, spiritual. That's a standard four-part description of what is a self. Ego, id, and superego is how Freud divided it up. People talk about somatic, you know, the body, or they talk about the psyche. But these are all just sort of fuzzy definitions for different parts of the self, different aspects of the self. The self as a whole is complex, it's multidimensional, it's multisensory. Our experience is complex and multidimensional and multisensory. So when you're sitting here talking to me and I'm talking to you, I'm experiencing sights and sounds and tastes and touches and smells and my own thoughts and your energies and my energies. So it's very comprehensive and it's very complex. And we try to pick it apart. That's the Western way, to pick things apart and call them different names. But the true self for me is the whole self, including everything and leaving nothing out. So that's my definition. What's yours?
Very similar. Very similar. I'm very much kind of the image which popped up was an ocean having different layers, different temperatures, different beings living in it, and all together kind of is it. The seen dimension on the surface, unseen dimensions on the ground, and also the quality of permanent movement and permanent changing. So this image popped up, yeah.
That's a great image for what I'm describing as the true self. So we're aligned there, because the ocean is filled with many things, and you can't define it. You can't say that's what it is, because it's so many things, right? So to get to your second question, you know, can do you have to change a belief to have a different experience, or can experience change your beliefs? So here's what I've discovered is that most people think that you get your beliefs from your experiences. I experienced this over and over again, so now I believe it's true. What I found is that that's actually the reverse, that our experiences come from our beliefs, that if you believe that you are a victim, you get victimized. If you believe you are powerful, you experience yourself as powerful. And beliefs operate in many different ways. One of the ways they work is as a filter in front of our eyes, in front of our perceptions. So if you have the belief life is hard, it's like looking through a lens, a colored lens, and you're looking at all the hard things in life, and what you can see are the hard parts of life. What you don't see are the glorious and fun and easy parts of life. So they filter out what is not included in the belief. And we have tens of thousands of beliefs that we've accumulated since our childhood. So it's a big pile of filters, right? And when we can clear the filters, then we see ourselves and reality more clearly. And this is what meditation is for, and it's what yoga is for, and psychotherapy is for. So it's all intended to clear the filters, to clear the maya or the confusion out of our way, so that we can see reality more clearly. So beliefs operate as filters. They also operate as little tiny experience creating machines. So if you have the belief, something's wrong with me, in fact, I recommend to your audience that you just try on the belief like you're trying on a set of clothes. There's something wrong with me, and feel what that feels like. And I invite you to do that too, Priya, so that you can get an experience. So when you take on the belief and feel there's something wrong with me, what does that feel like to you?
It feels limiting. I feel a pressure. I feel small. I feel... It feels like a tight structure around me, not giving a lot of space to be, to move.
Great. So that is an experience created by a belief. Okay. And now imagine that you had that belief in your subconscious mind. There's something wrong with me. And it's very tiny little voice repeating that over and over again. There's something wrong with me. 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 So that experience that you just had is in your body. You're carrying it around. And it's part of your experience. And you might feel crappy, or you might feel confused, and you don't know why. But it's because of that little machine creating that experience. So now take that one off like you're taking off a set of clothes and throwing it away, and try on a different belief. Try on, I am a sacred and worthy being. And again, I recommend to your listening audience that they try this on as well. I am a sacred and worthy being. Say that to yourself and see what experience that creates.
I mean, for me, immediately I feel bigger, I feel freedom, I feel peace, I feel light, I feel as if I'm a cloud.
Beautiful. So that's very typical. These experiences you're having are very typical across people. I've tried this with tens of thousands of people, and everyone reports similar kinds of experiences. So there's a belief that's creating a positive experience. We call that a positive belief, or an empowering belief, or an enlightening belief. Those are categories that we could put beliefs into. Beliefs about the self are usually negative or limiting. Limiting means I'm limited in what I can do. So they're more the doing side, and who I am are more the being side. And what I can have or is another category. So we have these tens of thousands of beliefs. And so when I began to say, well, where do they come from? How do we get our beliefs? I realized that that the belief mechanism is called by many names in psychology and philosophy, but it's essentially our ability to identify patterns and then name patterns and then use the named pattern as a way of understanding the world. So it's really core to our survival, and babies start it when they're born and probably have it when they're still in the womb. And that, so we look for patterns and we try to understand the world, because that's our way of getting along in the world. So a baby who's well cared for, who's loved and held and fed and nurtured and supported, gets the feeling like the world is safe. This is a good world. I can live here, you know? It's like, I'm okay. When I have a need, I can express myself and get that need fulfilled. And in psychology, that's called secure attachment. So baby feels good. Once they feel secure, they can begin crawling away and seeing what the world is like and exploring the world, and then run back to mommy when they're a little scared. Mommy says, it's okay, I've got you, you're okay, and goes out again. So that's the ideal scenario. Most of us didn't get that, or we got part of it and not all of it. So we became a little insecure. We felt nervous, like, I'm not sure if I'm going to get my needs met. So mommy may come sometimes, but not other times. So now I have to figure out, how do I get my needs met as an infant? Now, this is not a verbal process for the infant. It's an experimental and experiential one. So the baby says, well, tries different things and finally comes to the conclusion, if I cry and make a fuss, I'll get my needs cared for. Now, that's a really good belief for a baby. It's a belief that ensures survival. The problem is that beliefs aren't automatically deleted when they're not needed anymore. They just get pushed down into the subconscious mind by other newer beliefs. So that belief, if I cry and make a fuss, I'll get my needs cared for, some adults are still acting that way. And most of us know at least one person who still cries and makes a fuss in order to get his or her needs met. So we need a mechanism for clearing out the old beliefs that were accumulated and gained when we were children. Otherwise, they're just pushed down into the subconscious, and when something happens, they pop back up and start acting again.
So in a way, Lion, when I listen to you, in a way, they don't grow, they don't mature, they stay in a state where they were when we kind of took them on.
Yes, and they don't grow and they don't mature. They just get overridden by others. It's sort of like snowflakes. One or two snowflakes just melt on the ground, but then pretty soon they start accumulating, and more snow comes up until you have huge snow drifts, which are pressing down on the snow below. And that's how beliefs work, is that they just get pushed down. And that's why we react in certain situations. Someone gives us a look like our mother looked at us, or they say something like our father said it to us, and suddenly we're reactive, and we're reacting as if it's mother or father there instead of an adult who has a particular look or sound to their voice. So that's what happens, is these old beliefs get stimulated and then they pop up and they reassert themselves. Now, the same thing happens when we create something new. So for example, let's say you want to start a business, or you want to engage in a practice like meditation or a diet. And you make a decision. You say, okay, I'm not going to eat chocolate for the next 30 days. You're creating a new belief. I'm not going to eat chocolate for the next 30 days. Well, what happens is all the old beliefs come up and combat the new belief. And they say, wait, no, there's chocolate cake in the refrigerator, and you can't start your diet until you eat that. Don't worry about chocolate. Chocolate's okay for you. It's actually good for you. I saw the evidence. And so we get all these voices inside of ourselves telling us why this shouldn't be. And this is why it's difficult to move forward with new things in life, is because all of our old beliefs come up and reassert themselves. And unless you have a technology for clearing them out of the way, you can get stopped or stuck or held back from what you want to create as a creator of your life. So that's why I came up with the technology I did, so that we could just remove whatever comes up and clear them permanently, because there's a lot of techniques that clear them temporarily. So that's my work.
Mm-hmm. And is it then like that when you describe it? I would assume that in a way, you would then live with less and less beliefs. Or do you then also always need to create new ones?
This is a question that I'm asked quite often, and here's my answer. My answer is that, yes, you can live without any beliefs. But if you decide to do that, you should be sure to have an attendant nearby who can change your diaper and feed you. Mm-hmm. Because you need beliefs to know what food is and how to eat it. You need beliefs to know that you should put on clothes before you go outside. You need beliefs to know that you should look both ways before you cross the street. Those are all good beliefs that ensure your survival. So can you live without beliefs? Yeah, there's a lot of people that do, and a lot of meditative practices are good for that. But that's why people who go into a cave and meditate for 20 years have someone who comes and brings them food and takes away their waste products, you know, because they need someone to care for them if they're not going to be in the world and of the world and working with the world. So if you're going to be in the world, you need beliefs. You need some. The question is, there's positive beliefs, as I talked about, or empowering beliefs. There's negative and limiting beliefs. There's also neutral beliefs, like that is a cat. Is a belief, but it's a neutral belief. It doesn't have any charge. It's not getting in your way unless you're allergic to cats, right? So then you'd have a belief that cats are bad for you. But most of our language is in the neutral category. It's important to learn to clear the negative and limiting beliefs and then replace them with positive and empowering beliefs. Or with nothing. That's another path, is to clear it with nothing replacing it, or pure awareness replacing it. That's an alternative. And many people choose that. The problem is that they don't have a good technology for clearing the belief permanently. So they clear it at the moment and then it comes back, and they have clear it again and it comes back, and they clear it again and it comes back. And a lot of people who have spent many years meditating say the same thought comes back over and over and over again because they don't have a technology for clearing it.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, I just try to summarize it a bit and repeat it. In a way, those beliefs are, I would say, the word which pops up for me is structure, a helpful structure in a way, or supportive in certain situations in our childhood, and new beliefs are added to that, and we accumulate them. And in a way, we also need those beliefs in order to function in our practical life. But let's say when we recognize that we feel stressed, that we feel dense, that we are unhappy, that we can't move forward, this could be a sign knocking and inviting us, checking, are there limiting beliefs where I'm not able to move, to make different experience than I used to have? Is it?
That's very well said. It's a very good summary. Do you mind if I record that and use it in my own program? That was terrific. Yes, beliefs start as an infrastructure. It's sort of like if you're going to build a building, you need all those, you know, pipes and platforms for the workers to go up and add bricks, you know, that infrastructure is very important to support the creating of the building. Once the building is completed, you have to take that away. Otherwise, it interferes with the use of the building. And so this is the problem with beliefs, is that they don't automatically get taken away. They just get pushed down by newer beliefs. And so they keep coming back over and over again. And so that's why the process works, to clear them, and then they don't come back. And then you can go on to new things. And then other old beliefs will pop up and you clear those out, but you don't have to clear the same ones over and over again.
And what is the difference with the method you kind of downloaded to other methods where you say that there the beliefs are coming back again, and with your download, it's more permanent?
So I compared my system to many other systems, and what I found is that there are some systems that are primarily mental. So you recognize that you have a belief. Byron Katie is a good example of this. You recognize that there is a belief that isn't working for you. You notice that it's not working and how it's not working. You recognize that it's not true and that never was true, and that now you could, what would life be like if you didn't have that belief? So it's a really good process for the conscious mind. Unfortunately, it doesn't go down into the subconscious mind where the beliefs are actually stored. So that's why the belief keeps coming back and back and back. There's other processes that try to get to the subconscious mind, like certain tapping methods or muscle testing methods. And they're good too. For a while, but they don't automatically clear it from the whole psyche. they're clearing it in one place. They may be clearing it energetically in the case of tapping methods like EFT. So you can tap away, you can do the tapping method on a belief, and you're clearing the energetic signature that it creates. But I haven't found that it actually clears the belief from the whole system. The reason my system works better is because we communicate with the entire self, with the whole self, with the subconscious mind, with the conscious mind, with the superconscious mind or the higher self. We also are communicating with the visual system and the sensory system, the auditory and the kinesthetic system. So it's full body, full experiential experience. And so wherever that belief is in the entire system, it gets cleared all at once from all of those aspects of the system. So instead of being one mode clearing, like a mental or an emotional mode or a physical mode, it's clearing it all at once. And that's why it works better.
Mm-hmm. And is it important when you start working with it that you kind of clearly identify this belief? Is this necessary?
It's best to identify the core belief. Beliefs come in clusters. So you may believe there's something wrong with me. I'm no good. People don't like me. I can't do that. I'm a weirdo. So they all kind of cluster together and they reinforce each other. And so with complexes like that, you have to clear one and then clear another and then clear another and clear another. And at some point you get to the core belief, and the core belief is actually pre-verbal in most cases. That's a belief that we came to in the first year or two of life, maybe even in the womb. So as an example, if a mother is in fear a lot while she's pregnant, there's a war or there's poverty or her husband is violent, she's feeling fear. Her emotions are being driven by these hormones, by fear hormones in her body. And those are going right through into the fetus and creating fear in the fetus, even though the fetus may not be endangered. So the fetus is experiencing fear and may come to the conclusion while in the womb, the world is a dangerous place. Mm-hmm. Again, this is not verbal because we don't have words yet at that age. But it's experiential. So they may come out afraid of the world. And this happens a lot. Whatever's going on with the parents while the baby's in the womb is feeding information to the child. And the child is already coming to conclusions about the world and who they are and how to get along. So children who are given up for adoption almost always have adoption trauma from that. I wasn't wanted. I was rejected. There's something wrong with me. That's why they were giving me away. Children who are born in a very complex family with lots of children, they may feel left out. So all of those are the core beliefs that are deep, deep down. And it takes a while to get to them. It takes an expert to really go down and find out what's down there at the core. In the meantime, you can release beliefs at any level. Like if somebody wants a new car, they may feel like I can't afford one. You can clear that belief, even though it's about buying a car, and then work your way down through the second thoughts and the doubts and the feelings, the limitations, in order for the person to feel free to go buy a car. Now they also have to have the money. So beliefs don't make money appear, but they can open opportunities.
Mm-hmm. So in a way. The image I got is like we are wearing many, many, many clothes, and we can take off a hat, we can take off socks, we can take off a jacket and kind of work through us. And in the core, or could you also say that we know we kind of reaching to a core when it's really difficult to find words for it, when it's more a feeling or an experience in us? Is this a sign that we are kind of digging down deep enough?
Yes. Yes. The core beliefs are very experiential. They're in the body and they create a particular feeling constantly. And so when you clear one of those, a whole bunch of stuff clears all at once, because there a lot of other beliefs were attached to it. So it's like a cluster of balloons. You can pick them off one by one, but there's one at the center that they're all tied around. So when that clears, it's a big wow, because things change. Everything changes when one of those changes. You see the world differently. You see yourself differently. You feel your abilities differently. And so it's a very significant and wonderful moment at that point.
Yeah, the interesting thing, because I had experience with you once, I went through a process with you together. And what was really very amazing and surprising was this fact that I wasn't aware that I was wearing this kind of clothes all my life, because it was kind of, I was identified with it. I didn't know myself without it. And when it was taken off, it was such a different feeling in, really, as you described, in everything. Yeah.
Would you be willing to share what the old belief was and what you got rid of? You don't have to. I'm just asking.
I mean, in this way, in this situation, it was that I carried a belief from my grandmother. And she was experiencing war, and she was leaving a very dangerous area in a country. And I was carrying this fear that the world is dangerous, that the people are dangerous, the whole environment is dangerous. I'm not safe. Everywhere where I look and where I go, I need to be very, very careful. And in a way, I was moving through life always with a huge wall around me, a safety wall, and always very curious and very kind of, it was very difficult to go easily towards people, because there was always this feeling, oh no, maybe it's dangerous.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's a common experience for people that go through the process, is that when they get to one of those big ones, there's a big shift. It's like, oh my God, I didn't know that that's what I was living inside of, because it's like living inside of all those clothes, as you said. You don't think of yourself outside of them. And so it's hard to imagine yourself different. It's important also to note that beliefs can be passed on through generations. And in the study of epigenetics, which Bruce Lipton talks about a lot, they've done studies to show that trauma on one generation can be passed down through the genetics to the next generation and the next generation, that a grandparent's trauma can actually appear in the grandchild. So, you know, whether we get beliefs from our genetics, we get beliefs from our culture, from our society, from the media, from our parents' own beliefs, from our family's beliefs, from the religion's beliefs. There's a lot of beliefs out there that we take on in order to survive and get along and belong. And the reason for taking them on is good, because if you are like your parents, you will be liked by your parents, and they won't throw you away. So for a child, it's a very good survival mechanism. It's like, we want to become like our parents. So we take on their beliefs, we take on their mannerisms, we take on their behavior, because that's a way to get close to them. And if we're close to them, we won't be flushed down the toilet or fed to the wolves. Mm-hmm. So the reason for this patterning system, for this belief system, is to survive and to get along and to be part of and belong to a group, to your family or your troop, in the case of monkeys. So the mechanism is important for survival, but then it gets in our way, just like the infrastructure around a building.
Yeah, and then what just came to my mind, because often this metaphor is used in the kind of in the situation we are as humanity, as a whole species, this evolving from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And when I just connect to this story we share, we tell ourselves, that we are in kind of a transition from being one kind of species, becoming another one, and kind of something deep inside of me resonates with it. So I believe in this story we share. I just can imagine that from the perspective of a caterpillar, we need to let go a lot of beliefs which were true in the life of a caterpillar, and the beliefs which serve the life of a butterfly might be very different ones. So this is the reason why I also invited you, because I think that making space for a new structure which supports becoming on and evolving really in something we don't know really yet, if we are looking from the perspective of a caterpillar, is kind of really needed now a lot.
I agree fully. And there's one of my favorite cartoons is two caterpillars on a leaf looking up at a butterfly. And one caterpillar says to the other, "You'll never get me up in one of those things." So we have a kind of natural resistance to letting go of our caterpillar body and mind. And you're right, we develop a caterpillar mind. And when the caterpillar goes into the cocoon, it's forced genetically to do that. One of the reasons it goes is that the imaginal cells that's what they're called in the caterpillar, that are trying to create a new body, the caterpillar says, "Something bad is happening. I gotta go hide," you know. And those, there's actually an immune response. The caterpillar's body sends an immune response to try to kill those new cells. And it's just like when you create a new civilization out of an old one, or you try something new, a new community, people attack you because you're creating something that's different and new. So we have built-in mechanisms to prevent new things from happening, including new consciousness. And that's why there's the feeling of being attacked, because you actually are. That's the immune response of the caterpillar body to the new form and the new ideas. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things in the clear beliefs process that we have to do, is we have to deal with those other parts of us that don't want that to happen, that don't want that new belief to take place, because they'll be out of a job, or something bad will happen, or, you know, we'll have one of those bad experiences again. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the system. It's just part of our natural response to beliefs and to experiences and to the world that have to be included in this process, because otherwise they'll react later and knock whatever work you did off, and you'll have to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was really also interesting for me is when I realized that it's just a natural process, that there comes resistance or you feel that something is fighting against you, that it's nothing wrong. It's just very natural that this happens, and just keep going. And in a way, I'm also quite interested in what your experience is, because I'm a person, I feel kind of very connected to, I would call it, an evolutionary impulse, and this kind of gives me trust, and this lets me fall into movements where I don't know where it leads me or what the outcome will be, but I'm so connected to that, and I just move. I do step by step by step, not knowing where it leads me. And in your experience, would you agree that this is helpful, if you kind of are able to connect to that? This is one part of the question. And the other is, what supports us, or how can we connect to that more, to this maybe this future of the butterfly, in a way, where the caterpillar don't know how it looks like, but maybe it has a certain guessing, a certain matrix already in it.
Well, certainly the caterpillar has in its genetics the inevitable movement to the butterfly. So there is a drive. There's an evolutionary drive in that particular creature. And remember, it's not two different creatures. It's not a butterfly and a caterpillar. It is the same creature in two different forms. So there is something driving us forward. We can just call it evolution. We can look at the, you know, the billions of years of history on this planet and the universe to say there's something moving us forward. It's not, scientists would say it's a random process. It just follows certain mathematical laws. But okay, so they're called mathematical laws. It's still driving us towards something. And so I believe that we have an evolutionary process in us as a soul as well. I think souls are evolving and God is evolving through us, right? So we are aspects of God that are evolving. And that's what God wants to do. It's like, well, let's play the game called evolution. Let's try something new. Let's try different forms of life. Let's try dinosaurs for a while. Hey, that was good for 240 million years. Let's try mammals for a while. Oh, let's create humans. So that's an interesting creation. So there is that kind of drive towards something, at least something different, and hopefully something better. And this quest for making a better life, being a better person, creating a better civilization has been going on for thousands of years. You know, the most obvious was the ancient Greeks, who said, hey, we can create a civilization that works for everyone. And they tried, and they did pretty well for a while. Of course, everyone for them did not include the slaves, right? So slaves, they still had slaves, but they made a good life for themselves. So, you know, we have evolved. We've evolved politically and we've evolved in our thinking. The Me Too movement and civil rights and women's rights, all of these are important evolutionary thrusts moving forward towards something better. So, yes, we are in an evolutionary state, and we also fear the unknown. So the unknown is scary to us because it could be dangerous. That's built into the primitive brain. And so we have to deal with that impulse. But at the same time, we're afraid of the unknown and we want to stay home and safe. There's another impulse that is curious and wants to explore and experience new things. So the urge toward novelty is almost as strong as the urge toward staying home and safe. So we're this interesting mix as creatures. We're a mixture of all of these forces, and it is evolving us. I mean, we're smarter than our grandparents were, and they were smarter than their grandparents were all the way back. So we are evolving. Hopefully we'll evolve fast enough to save the planet from destruction, because at the same time we've evolved our machinery and our ability to extract resources from the earth and to destroy our foundation as we get this glorious experience of modern society. So there's a race between our evolution of our thinking and how we're organized and how we relate to each other and the planet as a sustainable place. Mm-hmm. So that's the question we're in right now is, will we make it? You know, will we pull out from our destructive tendencies before it's too late? Mm-hmm. Or will we just be another experiment on planet Earth? You know, dinosaurs had their time, humans maybe have their time, and then it's on to something else.
Mm-hmm. And would you say there is a connection between getting or transcending or I'm looking for the right word, because I sense it's not really just getting rid of old beliefs. It's really also, as you said, because we need beliefs, kind of really having beliefs which serve us. Do you see a connection between an individual going through this process of clearing beliefs and creating beliefs or taking on beliefs which are supportive, and what you see outside yourself in life, in relationship, in others, in environment? What is the connection?
An important connection is that when I can understand my own beliefs, where they came from, how they came to form my identity and the way I operate in the world, the more I can relate to other people and how they had their beliefs built and created and how they evolved and made turned into themselves. And it also gives me the understanding of people that are very different than me, people with a different religion, with a different society, different culture, different language, and say, okay, their language and their culture created them to be the way they are. So it actually expands empathy, the ability to relate to other people and to say, oh, I see, I understand you now. I can see where you are coming from. I can understand why you would behave the way you do based on the beliefs you have. And when you know that beliefs can be changed at will towards something better, then you also expand your heart to relate to all beings and say, we're all on the same path. So it connects you to everyone and everything when you can really see this fundamental infrastructure of the human mind, of mind without even beyond humans, because animals have the same instinct we do. They see patterns, they make conclusions, and they operate based on them. So this is a universal principle of mind. And when you understand that and you understand that beliefs can be changed, then there could be peace on earth, because we could just talk about our beliefs and how they're different and where we share beliefs and where we don't, what our values are, which is what's important to us, and then find a way to live together and support each other and celebrate each other's differences without getting angry or needing to kill someone because they have a different belief than you do. So I think it does lead to a peace on earth. That's the plan.
All right. And Lion, do you think it is possible to share a bit practically how it would look like to go through a process like that? And I mean, we can't really go through a huge process, and also people are very different, but to give us an idea how the journey is.
Sure. It'll take about 10 or 15 minutes. Do we have that time?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So for all of those of you who are listening, I invite you to close your eyes. I'm going to take you on an inner journey. We use a journey into the imagination as a way of working with beliefs, because to the brain, what you imagine is just as real as the real world. So we have this ability to use the what we call the imaginal realm to change beliefs. So close your eyes and imagine that you are walking through a path in the forest. It's a beautiful forest, beautiful, safe forest. The ground is so soft, you can take off your shoes. The air is warm. There's sunlight filtering down through the trees. And you're just enjoying the beauty of the trees and the bushes around you. You can hear animals scurrying in the brush. And you feel wonderful. And just take a walk for a minute and feel how great it feels to be there. And some people visualize more clearly than others. So if you're not a visualizer, you can feel it. You can just feel it in your body. And as you're walking, you notice up ahead that there's a kind of clearing. There's an open space in the trees. And so you get curious. Well, wonder what's there in that open meadow. And as you approach the meadow, you can see that there's a circle of stones. And it looks like a sacred circle, a sacred place. And there's something in the center of the circle, but you can't make it out yet. And so you begin walking toward the circle. And you realize that this sacred place has been created by ancestors to work with beliefs, to help clear and change beliefs. And before you enter, you ask permission, because it's courteous to do so. And so you just reach up to the sky and you say, ancestors, grandmothers, grandfathers, may I enter? May I enter and use this place? And they welcome you and they say, of course, grandchild, you may enter. And as you walk toward the center of the circle, you notice that there's a fire, a sacred fire at the center. And there's also a mirror, a full-length mirror. And you're curious about this mirror. And as you walk up to the mirror, you're curious to see what you're wearing because you're not aware of it. And so you look in the mirror to see what you're wearing at the moment. And now that you've noticed what you're wearing, go ahead and take that outfit off, because that's how it works here in this beautiful sacred space, is you have to take off what you're wearing in order to explore something else. And so now that you've set your clothes aside, close your eyes again, the eyes you have there in the sacred circle. And you're going to experiment with a belief we mentioned earlier, to see what it feels like, because it's the most common belief I've found in people around the world. And so you close your eyes and feel what it feels like to hold that belief, there's something wrong with me. And feel it in your body, feel it, how it limits you, feel what happens to your posture. And recognize that you may have this belief somewhere in your subconscious mind. Now the mirror reflects the belief that you're holding at the time. So when you're ready, open your imaginal eyes, look in the mirror, and see what outfit has been created by your subconscious mind. It will just appear automatically. You don't have to create it. And see what it looks like. This is how your subconscious mind is representing this belief, there's something wrong with me. And feel what it feels like to be wearing this outfit. Sometimes it feels heavy. Sometimes it feels ancient or old or raggy, or you know, it feels itchy or scratchy. It could be anything. It could be any form. And this is the representation of the belief there's something wrong with me. And now that you know that you have this belief somewhere in your subconscious mind, you can choose to let it go, to get rid of it. So ask yourself the question, do I want to let this belief go permanently from my life? And I assume you answered yes. So in this case, go ahead and take this belief off. We call it a belief outfit. Take this belief outfit off. It may unzip somewhere. Maybe you can scoot out the back. Sometimes it feels like a whole costume or a bodysuit. And just take it off, strip it off like clothing. If you're having a hard time, invite one of the ancestors to come in and help you get it off so that it can fall to the ground. And let it fall to the ground. Take it all off of your body, and also look inside your body to see if it's inside anywhere. And pull it out of the inside of your body and let it fall to the ground as well. You may have to take it out of your eyes or your ears or your head or your chest, your heart, your stomach, your legs, your sexual organs. Just take it out and throw it on the ground. And scan your entire body and your entire system and take all of the experiences you've had that are like this, and take them out of your memory and throw them on the ground. And when you feel it completely off of you and out of you, feel what it feels like to be free of that belief. It's no longer anywhere in your system. And if you find that it is, take that part out and throw it on the ground. And then feel what it feels like to not have it on you anymore. And then decide, is this a belief I want to let go of permanently from my life? And if the answer is yes, reach down and gather it up, sort of push it together into about the size of a ball you could hold in both hands. And now that you're holding this outfit and the belief, walk over to the sacred fire. The sacred fire is a fire that burns things back to their original nothingness. And so when you put it in the fire, and you're not going to do it quite yet, it will disappear completely, never to return. But before you put it in the fire, we do a little ceremony, because every belief has served us in some way. And beliefs like to be appreciated and thanked, just like we do. And so look at this belief, there's something wrong with me, and say to it, thank you for having served me in my life. it doesn't matter if you know how it served you in some way. It might have made you likable to your parents, it might have made you acceptable in a group, but however it served you, just thank it for having served you. And then say to it, I've outgrown you and I don't need you anymore. And tell it, your job is done. And say to it, I am now sending you back to the nothingness from which you came. And now add anything else you want to say to it before you place it in the fire. And when you're ready, place it in the fire and watch it burn until it's completely gone. It may go poof all at once. It may burn slowly. Turn up the heat and it's like a nuclear fireplace. It will burn everything, every aspect of it, every part of it, and turn it back into nothingness so that nothing is left, not even ashes or smoke. And just watch until it's gone. And when it's gone, feel what it feels like to have it out of your life. Most people report a sense of lightness or openness, but feel what it feels like to you to not have it in your life. And now that you're free of it, you can replace it with any belief you wish, with an empowering belief, positive belief. For example, you could use the one that we worked with before, I am a sacred and worthy being. Try that on, see if it's right for you. And if it's not right for you, find the right belief for you. It's important that you choose your own beliefs at every stage of life. And you can try on the belief and see how it feels. If it feels good, that's great. If it could be made even better, that's even better. So experiment with the belief you want to take on and find one that really serves your life. I am a wonderful being, or I am light, I am love. And when you've chosen the belief, and if you haven't chosen one, you can feel free to use, I am a sacred and worthy being. It's a very good belief to have. Close your imaginal eyes again and feel what it feels like to hold that new belief. Feel it in your body. Let it penetrate all of your cells, all 70 trillion cells that you have in your body. It's as if every cell in your body is doing a happy dance, saying this new belief and shining the light of this new belief out in every direction. And your own heart is like a sun that radiates in all directions, sending out this new belief into every part of your universe. Let it penetrate your bones and your muscles and your organs and your mind, your brain, every part of your life, your relationships, your finances, your career, your family. Feel what it feels like to let this belief shine like a light in the world. This is your true self shining. And when you're ready, walk back over to the mirror and see what new outfit has been created by your subconscious mind to represent this new belief. Just look in the mirror, be surprised, and see what you see in the mirror. really enjoy this new feeling because it will be permanently installed in your psyche and will continue to anchor deeper and deeper for the next 48 hours or so. And when you're ready, take a look around the sacred circle. See the mirror, see the fire, see the circle of stones, and say a prayer of thanks to the ancestors for creating this place and to nature around you for making space for this sacred work to occur. And when you're ready, turn around and walk back toward the exit the way you came in. And as you exit the circle, turn around once more and give a bow of thanks for this work, for this circle, for the ancestors who created it. And then begin walking on the path back the way you came, back to home, feeling the soft dirt on your feet, feeling the sun shining through the leaves, hearing the singing of birds, feeling good and still wearing this new outfit of clothing, this new light that you are. And walk all the way back to where your body is located, where your eyes are closed, where you're listening to my voice. And feel that you are wearing this new outfit. You are wearing this new clothing, this new light. It's part of you. It's part of your life. It's who you are. And feel it in every part of your body. And recognize that this is a new life. A new moment. And when you're ready, open your eyes, look around, and see if the world looks any different. Welcome back. Thank you for going on that journey with me.
Thank you for guiding us on this journey. And Lion, I wonder, is it supportive to go back in this feeling again and the next time with this new clothes? What is your experience in that?
Well, the idea of needing to repeat a process over and over again comes because the process didn't work the first time completely. So in my view, this is now part of you. It's like planting a seed in the ground, in the cleared ground, and now it can grow and blossom. And it's good to water it and make sure it has sunshine, but you don't have to keep planting it over and over again. So yes, the idea is that when you're in the world and you're feeling strange or weird or different or bad, remember the outfit. That's a good way of anchoring it. And that will remind you of what the truth is about who you are. So in that way, yes, it's good to do that. But you don't have to do the process again. You can do the process again with a different belief. That's fine. And I have a program for people that takes people through this, a more complex process called Clear Your Beliefs. And it's available at clearyourbeliefs.com. And people can go and check it out there and find a way to get it. It's 7 recorded programs that take you through different aspects of life that and with a similar kind of journey that allows you to clear one belief at a time and change your life one belief at a time.
And it would also be possible to start if people would like to try it out a bit. They could use the recording where you guided us through now and just use another belief to kind of get a bit of taste of it for 15 minutes and then to go deeper and to have more support and to look really very clear in different aspects. Your program would be a good way to deepen it.
Yes, and the journey I just took you on was a very abbreviated journey, so it's a very small part of the whole experience, but it's a very good way to start. And so, yes, come back and choose another belief you want to clear and do the same process using this recording.
Beautiful. I feel so good.
What was your new belief?
It was interesting. I took your suggestion and it felt really good, but I just added then, kind of, I started with I'm a sacred being and I'm connected to my true self and I'm part of a sacred world.
Beautiful. That's great. Yeah.
So I feel kind of really weaved into a web of people which are aware of that and which are moving together. So that gave a beautiful feeling on top of it, not just seeing myself as a separate being, but also being aware of this connectedness.
That's wonderful. That's great. Yeah. And there's the belief in connectedness makes us feel connected, right? The belief in separateness makes us feel separate. And because we have lots of beliefs, we often have both of them and they kind of vibrate back and forth. You know, I'm separate, I'm connected, I'm separate, I'm connected. Or we feel the tension between the two. So when you're clearing beliefs, it's good to clear the negative one completely and then plant the new positive belief. That's what makes it work. Rather than trying to add more positive beliefs on top, which is like affirmations, you know, I'm a great person, I'm a great person, I'm a great person. But what happens is you still have the old beliefs. I'm a terrible person, I'm a terrible person, I'm a terrible person. And they fight with each other inside your psyche. That's why you have to keep pounding on it over and over again, but it never really works. So this is a process like creating a garden. You know, if you're going to create a new garden, you go and you clear the soil, you take out the rocks and pull the weeds and till the soil and add, you know, add to it. And then you plant your seeds. And then they can grow. But if you tried to plant your seeds on the old garden, not much would grow, because it would have the rocks and the weeds in the way. So that's the idea of the process, is clear the mind first, clear the belief first, and then you can plant new beliefs.
Thank you so much, Lion. I just feel so nourished and so good, so that I kind of ran out of questions, just enjoying the good feeling. But I want to give you the opportunity, if you have the feeling that there is something missing or you want to add something to close our conversation together, so just feel free to add whatever feels necessary from your side.
Thank you, Priya. I want to mention that for coaches, therapists, healers, and other kinds of practitioners, I teach these methods in a program called the Clear Beliefs Coach Training. And it's a 12-week program, very powerful. You get a whole set of tools to use with your clients for this kind of transformation. And we just completed a session with people from 10 different countries around the world. The next one starts in October. And if you're interested in that program, you can go to clearbeliefs.com, and that will tell you all about the program. And again, for those of you who are just interested in doing your own work, your own belief work, clearyourbeliefs.com. So clearbeliefs and clearyourbeliefs.com. Those are two of my websites. I also, if you want to learn more about me, liongoodman.com, L-I-O-N, goodman.com. I have lots of resources there as well. So I love to give. I love people to communicate with me. I'd be happy to answer your questions. My email is liongoodman@gmail.com. So I'm always happy to hear from people. I try to respond within 24 hours. Sometimes it takes a week. So I'd love to talk with you. And again, these tools integrate with all other tools. So people come with very different backgrounds, people from NLP and people from yoga and people from psychotherapy. And they learn these tools and integrate them into their practice. So it's not something that's that you have to throw everything else away. It's always integratable. So I love being here with you, Priya. I'm so glad to be part of your program. I wish everyone a wonderful coming year and more and more movement toward the light, toward their own light, letting their light shine, because we need everyone's lights to shine these days.
Thank you so much, Lion, for your contribution for this journey. And we also will put all the links of all what you shared on the emails and at the end of the video, so that people can really sure find you and go deeper when they are interested. And I also thank you listening and watching to us, and I hope this journey inspired you and touched you and will be of benefit for you and for all of your relationships, your work, and all of your reality, basically. Thank you. And thank you, Lion, for your contribution. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Priya. It's great to be here. I'm so happy to be part of your program.